The Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting at verse 12b. "So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put a little out from land. And he sat down, taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm very thankful that Nathan brought out a very beautiful-looking fishing pole I'm very thankful that many of you are more well-versed with fishing than I am. I am from the desert of Southern California. Fishing would not have gone well for me there. And as such, I am not a very experienced fisherman. I hope that doesn't preclude me being pastor here in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, I'm very thankful that many of you are good fishermen. I know that we're still working through a little bit of the fish that the Waters and Pauls gave me. I think that you are considerably better fishers than I am. So I am thankful to be a partaker of good fishing. So if anyone else needs someone to give extra fish to, I'm here for you. All that to be said, that today in our story, it is easy for us to think that it is a story all about fish. But as we see throughout it, and as Peter got to see, both in this message and throughout his life, this is a story about Jesus calling people to himself and sending them out to do the work that he is doing. Now, our story begins with Jesus. He's still being followed by a lot of people. At this point, he's already grown in quite a bit of popularity, and we're only in Luke chapter 5. And so this is already a big deal. As Jesus is going out into the town of around the Lake of Gennesaret, he's surrounded by people so much so that he can't get anywhere else. They've backed him up next to the water, and he sees a bunch of tired, sweaty old fishermen. They're there out there washing their nets. They've brought the boats in. It was not a good catch day for that day. They've caught nothing. And they're ready to go home and kind of sulk, probably. But now Jesus gets into one of the boats, which is Simon's, and asks him to put out a little bit from land. This guy, this Jesus, he has some boldness to him. Poor Peter, he's out there, he's tired, he's washing his nets, getting ready to go home. Jesus just climbs into his boat and says, "All right, can you take me out a little bit? That'd be great." Sure. Simon does a good job here. He sees that this Jesus guy, he's got a pretty big following. He seems maybe like a rabbi, a good teacher. And so, sure enough, he sat down and he's out there in the boat. He's teaching from the boat. The idea of sitting down and teaching, this is a common phrase. When you saw a rabbi ready to teach, he would sit down. So it's kind of interesting in this small fishing boat. Maybe he's out there standing up and everyone's watching like, "Hey, we're trying to be with Jesus. We want to hear from him." And then he sits down like, "Oh, okay, he's teaching us some more." And so they sit down too. Simon in the boat there with Jesus is right next to him during one of Jesus's messages. Can you imagine? There's this large group of people on land who've all gathered to hear Jesus speak. And here he is speaking from a point where everyone can see him. He's in this boat in the water. And sitting right next to him is Peter. It would be like I asked one of you, just could you come stand right here while I preach? Might feel a little awkward, might feel a little odd, but he has a front row seat to hear a message from Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing. As Jesus finishes up his message, we don't get to hear what it was. I'm sure it was great. As he finishes up, he turns to Simon. He says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Let's just go a little bit further out here and drop your nets in. You know, the ones I saw you washing because you're ready to go home. Drop those into the sea. That'd be great. Simon answered him, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." We worked all night long, Jesus. We caught nothing. We're ready to go home. We're exhausted and we're tired. But sure, at your word, I'll do this. Remember, he has just heard Jesus, the word of God, preaching, which means giving the word of God. Even though this might sound odd to us, if some person just said, "Hey, start fishing again," it wouldn't have made sense. But Peter knows that this Jesus is someone different. "At your word, I'll do this." He's already heard Jesus, and this is already working in his heart and his mind. He realizes, you know what? Maybe this guy is on to something. I'll listen to him. He calls him Master, which is fine enough to give respect and honor to somebody. Even more than just saying, "All right, boss, I'll do what you say." he says, sure, master, I'll listen to your word and I'll throw it in. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Oh, okay, well, maybe he's on to something. I don't know. Maybe he saw the fish. He drops the net in and trying to pull it in. The nets can't even handle it. He calls over his friends in the other boat, the ones who had already been out washing their nets and had clean nets. Get in the boat. Come on out here. Help me. We have too many fish. They load up that fish, and sure enough, it's so much that these boats are sinking. They can't even take on this huge blessing that Jesus is giving them. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees. The gospel writers, when they write what the Holy Spirit has given them to put down, they don't put words in accidentally. Up until this moment, it was just Simon. And in fact, after this moment, it'll be Simon again. You may recall that later he would get the name Peter, after a great profession of faith, when he had said, "You are the Lord, the Son of God." When he has said this, when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," things changed for him. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, for this has not been given to you of your own knowledge, but it's been a gift of the Holy Spirit." Jesus points out the ability to call him the Christ, the Lord, to call him God, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And here, Peter changes. He doesn't just call Jesus Master. We read what he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He realizes this guy is not just a good teacher, a good rabbi. He's not just a good master who I could listen to. This is the Lord. And Luke, knowing who Peter would become, who Simon would become to the church, includes Simon Peter saw it. The Holy Spirit has already given him a mind and a heart to see Jesus as Lord. All are astonished at what they see. They're pulling in these fish. And Peter is the one to say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, he might have in his mind a different context than you and I would think of. As he falls down on his knees in this worshiping pose before Jesus, in great fear, really, saying, "I am a sinful man, Lord." He's doing this with the same response that God's people have had throughout history. Our Old Testament reading today in Isaiah helps us see the context that Peter found himself in. See, Isaiah in chapter 6, and the calling that he has and to go into ministry, in a vision, he sees the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, his train of his robe filling the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, described here as not a little cherub angel, but a slightly more terrifying sight. And all are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah shares this vision of the time when God called him into ministry, called him to be a prophet. And it's terrifying. He sees this glory of God, the temple filled with smoke, angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." The building is shaking at the great glory and praise of God. And Isaiah falls down and says, "Woe is me," assuming he has nothing but death to come, because he knows that he is a sinner in the presence of God. He falls down before him, expecting nothing but death, because he knows he does not deserve to be where he is, to be in front of God. That helps us see a little bit of what Peter might have been feeling. For us, we tend to be a little more well-versed in the New Testament scriptures, I think. But for Peter, he would have known this and many other tellings of those people who were before God, knowing that to stand before God is despair and destruction for sinners. And yet, Peter and Isaiah are not destroyed. In fact, they get to hear a great gospel message, and they get to realize that they are being called into something greater than themselves. Just as Isaiah is there on the ground, you imagine, cowering, saying, "I am a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve to be here." The seraphim flies over with a burning coal, again, this is in a vision, and touches his mouth and says, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. You are forgiven, your sins atoned for." Well, that changes everything. If Isaiah is not a sinner, if Isaiah is in fact welcomed to be there by God, that changes everything. And for him, we see it changes even his response. Having his sins atoned for, he hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." In Isaiah's vision, his call into serving the Lord, his first response is fear and trembling because he's a sinner. But when God's through with him, with forgiving him and showing him mercy and love, he's no longer cowering there saying, "I'm probably going to die." But rather he's responding, "Here am I, send me." So for Peter, back in our fishing story, he's cowering in the boat before Jesus, saying, "Depart from me. Please don't stay here and kill me, or I might just perish even being in front of the Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus' response to Peter, they're worshiping him in the boat, is not, "Yes, you are a sinner. Be grateful I've given you these fish. Now go on, you awful fishermen, and enjoy them." His response is, "Do not be afraid." He's not here to judge Peter. He's here, in fact, to give him a new calling, to call him into service, to follow Jesus and to do what Jesus would teach him. And so this sweaty fisherman, in fact, others as well, James and John, they leave it all there. They leave the boat, they leave the nets, the fish, and they follow Jesus. Our response might be a little bit different than Peter's, and certainly the fallout and the what would come from it is going to be different. I don't imagine too many of you were called specifically by Jesus while out fishing, though I imagine fishing is still a wonderful experience. You might feel called by God there, I don't know. Again, I'm not the fisherman. But I will say, for each of us, when God's law speaks to us, when his Holy Spirit comes to us and reminds us or teaches us even for the first time that we are sinners, that we do need salvation, in whatever setting that comes, the Bible tells us the law can strike us down and make us feel in that position of being unworthy. And yet, in Old Testament, even before Jesus' death and resurrection, and in the New Testament, when we get to hear about all of the goodness that brings, we see that God in his mercy does not go to those who realize they're sinners and say, "Yes, you are sinful, and leave us there. He tells us that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that our sins are removed from us in Jesus' name. When God's law would strike you in your heart, if your own sinful nature or the sinful world around us would come and speak to you and tell you that you are indeed an awful sinner who does not deserve God's love or mercy, be reminded that time and time again, people have felt similarly. Sometimes standing in the very presence of God, who they could see, touch, and hear. And for them and for you, the call is the same. Follow me. You are forgiven. For those who come before God in repentance, for those who come saying, forgive me for I'm a sinner, or at the very least, please don't destroy me. God's response to you is, come follow me. And in fact, I have a job for you. Not only do I want you not to leave or be afraid, I want you to trust in me. When Jesus said to Simon, you will now be catching men. Well, that sure is a nice thing for a fisher to hear, I imagine. I'm much more like the first version of Simon. I was a fisher, not a catcher, and perhaps I need some help along the way. But as far as trying to catch men's hearts, that's not something that Simon will have to do. It's not something that any of you will have to do on your own. Because Jesus is the one doing the work, because he is the one calling you to it, just go and tell other people about Jesus. Tell other people about the forgiveness he has to offer. And you will be catching men. You will be catching others to hear the gospel. Not because of your great speaking or your ability to woo others to following Jesus, because we're telling them about the one who has saved us. When you share with other people that Jesus Christ has called you to follow him and to be God's child, and that Jesus cares about the whole world and has died for every person, you get to be a catcher of men. You don't get to be an apostle quite like Peter was. Sorry, that's his context. But for you, you are called. You are called God's child. You are called forgiven. You are called loved by God. And you are called a catcher of men. Someone who gets to go out and share the good news that more might come to hear and trust in the same Savior that you know. That they might also have the same peace that surpasses all human understanding, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.